The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada, it's Wednesday. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside of the Beltway. Occasionally you work and you work and you work to prepare for a show on the evening before or the night before, and then comes along a brand new story that makes you stop and reshuffle your story order. That came in the Washington Post this morning, which finally gave me a number. The number of American children who have died from COVID, every one of which a terrible, heartbreaking tragedy. I know people have lost children. It's a terrible burden. It's a terrible tragedy. It's the worst thing in the world. 540 children have been lost to COVID since the beginning of the pandemic. According to the Washington Post this morning, that's out of a total of 5.7 million children. This is children defined as under the age of 18. 5.7 million children have been infected. 540 have died. Now, that's a big number. It's a serious number. That's about a 1 in 10,000 number. So if your child goes to school without a mask or gets the COVID from playing Little League or Cub Scouts or something else, there's a 1 in 10,000 chance that they will die. If your teenager drives a car between the ages of 16 and 19, there is a 1 in 8,500 chance that they will die. Now, we don't stop them from driving cars. They have to learn how to drive cars. And we ought not to be masking young children because masks inhibit their learning. I am susceptible to grades 5 and above and 6 and above. I think mandatory vaccines in schools is crazy given the risk profile. When, for example, in California, Gavin Newsom refuses to require state prison guards to become vaccinated, meaning that the greater risk of circulating the virus, there is nothing being done because of union contracts and Gavin Newsom's refusal to deal with unions, while children are being obliged to submit to a highly unnecessary vaccine. It will be most likely that they, if they are sick at all, if they demonstrate any kind of symptoms, it will be a mild stay home from cold. Hundreds of thousands of kids get it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, 5.7 million kids get it. And some of them are going to stay home from school for a few days. And they'll be, you know, with the TV tray and the ice cream watching Mary Tyler Moore, or whatever the modern equivalent of that is, the Dick Van Dyke Show. But that's the extent. That's why parents are rejecting the CDC's advice. It's why Dr. Fauci's credibility has hit an all-time low. Yesterday, there was a hearing in front of the federal United States Senate Judiciary Committee with Senators Cotton and Hawley calling into question, why is the Attorney General of the United States putting parents under surveillance who are complaining to school boards about COVID policies and mandates, as well as CRT, critical race theory? Parents have become fed up. That's why in Virginia, I believe Glenn Youngkin is going to beat Terry McAuliffe, because Terry McAuliffe has said parents should not have input into school districts. And Glenn Youngkin says, no, 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 you've got that wrong. Parents should run school districts. So if you're in favor of school district bureaucrats, you're voting for Terry McAuliffe. And if you're a parent, you're voting for Glenn Youngkin, if you're a parent that cares about how your child is educated in Virginia. But here is Senator Cotton yesterday, cut number 12.
Ms. Monaco, I'm sorry, my time is limited here, and I asked a simple yes or no question, and I have several of them that I want to ask, so I'd like a yes or no answer. Is it domestic extremism for a parent to advocate for their child's best interests?
I think what you have described, no, I would not describe as domestic extremism.
Is it domestic extremism for a parent to want to have a say in what their child is taught at school?
I think it's important, although obviously not my field in the Justice Department, to opine on education policy. It's important for parents' voices to be heard. But, Senator, I want to talk about what the Attorney General did do in response to that.
So I want
the issue of threats.
Ms. Monaco, I want to go through my question. I grant you that no one No one should ever threaten violence or use violence to try to achieve political or policy goals. They shouldn't, for instance, follow Democratic senators into the bathroom violating state laws. No one should ever use threats of violence or violence to achieve political goals. I'm asking very simple questions here and trying to get the bottom of what was on the Attorney General's mind or the department's mind. Is it domestic extremism for parents to oppose their children being taught to treat people differently because of race?
The Justice Department's job, Senator, is to apply facts to law, not to opine on letters that are put forward or, I think it's very important for the Justice Department to...
Ms. Monaco, it's a fact that the School Board Association just sent this letter to President Biden, and then conveniently the Attorney General released his letter yesterday describing his series of measures to confront this grave and growing threat of parents protesting their kids being indoctrinated and the school board having to call a recess. Is there any connection between those two things?
I want to be very clear in the memorandum that's publicly available that the Attorney General issued talks about the importance of bringing federal, state, local law enforcement together to make sure that there is awareness of how to report threats that may occur and to ensure that there's an open line of communication to address threats, to address violence, and to address law enforcement issues in that context, which is the job of the Justice Department, nothing more.
The inability of the Assistant Attorney General to answer obvious no questions is because the country has revolted against the CRT imposition on public schools, on mass mandates, on the attempt by the Attorney General to suffocate parental disagreement with local school boards via the memo yesterday threatening surveillance of those. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri joined in questioning Deputy Attorney General Monica. Monica, cut number 13.
You know, all I can say is this is truly extraordinary. I think you know it is. It's unprecedented. You can't point to a single instance where anything like this has happened before. And I think parents across this country are going to be stunned to learn, stunned, that if they show up at a local school board meeting, by the way, where they have the right to appear and be heard, where they have the right to say something about their children's education, where they have the right to vote, and you are attempting to intimidate them, you are attempting to silence them, you are attempting to interfere with their rights as parents, and yes, with their rights as voters. This is wrong, this is dangerous, and I cannot believe that an Attorney General of the United States is engaging in this kind of conduct. And frankly, I can't believe that you are sitting here today defending it. I intend to get answers to these questions. You won't answer my questions. I'm going to get answers to these questions. Mr. Chairman, we need to have a hearing on this subject. We need to hear from the Attorney General himself. He needs to come here, take the oath, sit there, and answer questions. We have never seen anything like this before in our country's history. And frankly, I want to say, I think it is a dangerous, dangerous precedent.
Bill Bennett, my old colleague who preceded me in this time slot, was on Fox and Friends yesterday opining on the Attorney General's memo threatening parents who argue with school boards. Cut number 14.
Yeah, the FBI. Now, look, no one should be threatened. No one should be attacked physically. Violence is obviously not appropriate. But this criticism of school board members is entirely appropriate. And given what's going on in the schools, we should have more of it. This is the Empire Strikes Back, Steve.
Right.
Or years ago, when I was education secretary, I termed a phrase called the blob, which is the education establishment. And so you might say this is the revenge of the blob. The blob is striking back. But to use the power of the FBI to suggest that parents should shut up, which is really what they're saying here, and let the schools do whatever they want to do, this notion that parents should not have the major say in the education of their children,
right.
This is what's at stake right now.
Yes, it is. And that's why I need you in Virginia to vote for Glenn Youngkin and against Terry McAuliffe. McAuliffe agrees that parents should have no say over school boards. Glenn Youngkin believes in parents. It's also why I want you to contribute to Alliance Defending Freedom, which defends parents and teachers in front of oppressive school boards. Go to HughHewitt.com. Let the Alliance Defending Freedom banner load at the very top. If you agree with Hawley and Cotton and Bennett and me, if you're voting for Glenn Youngkin, find the time also to give 50 $75, $100, or $100,000, because Alliance Defending Freedom gets it done, protects your kids against overweening school boards and school unions. I'll be right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway on this Wednesday morning. As you know, the Alliance Defending Freedom sponsors this show. As you know, I am a longtime supporter of Alliance Defending Freedom. I've appeared at their Blackstone Fellows for more than a dozen years. I've led their media track at their annual gathering of their 3,300 affiliated attorneys. I believe that the Alliance Defending Freedom is the most effective legal defense fund in the United States that center right, that is constitutionalist, devoted to religious liberty and free speech. And never have we needed it more. And I'm happy to welcome John Bursch, Senior Counsel of Alliance Defending Freedom. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. I'm doing great. It's terrific to be back.
Good to have you. I have in my hand, last time we talked, last week, about the kickoff of the ADF fundraising campaign, and people can make a contribution over at HughHewitt.com. I would not have predicted that the Attorney General would give you a gift like this, but I don't think the gift is worth the cost. The Attorney General directs FBI to investigate alleged, quote, violent threats by parents against school officials, writes Yahoo News. Attorney General Merrick Garland has directed the FBI and U.S. Attorney offices to investigate alleged threats being made against school board officials by a growing coalition of parents who are outraged by the imposition of racialized curricula and COVID-driven shutdowns and mask mandates of their local classroom. Your reaction, John Bursch, of the Alliance Defending Freedom to Merrick Garland's memo?
Well, you know, I'm just aghast. As you know, Alliance Defending Freedom is the largest public interest law firm in the world, which is defending speech, religious liberty, parental rights, and the right to life. And when you think about parental rights, there are few things that are more fundamental than the right to direct your child's education. And so when you have comments like one of the recent gubernatorial candidates in the Virginia governor's race that parents don't have a role in educating their kids, you should be concerned. When you've got the entire weight of the United States Department of Justice saying if you protest too loudly about critical race theory or pornographic books or other inappropriate materials being introduced into your child's school curriculum, now that's downright frightening. That's just a level of government intrusion into the basic fundamental right of being able to parent your child in this country, worse than anything that we've seen in a long time. And you can be sure that if they do come forward and they persecute and prosecute parents who are simply doing their job to make sure that their kids are going to be well taken care of at school and not influenced by ideology, which is going to harm them, then we're going to be there to defend those parents.
I'm asking everyone listening to this show to please call the ADF fundraising line at 866-359-9644, 866-359-9644. 9644, make a contribution, 25, 50, 100, or if you can, a lot more. They had 75 permanent attorneys, 3,300 affiliated attorneys. They'll be in front of the Supreme Court early and often throughout this term. But I want to go back. This is Josh Hawley yesterday, John Bursch, senior counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom, in the Senate talking to the number two, the deputy attorney general, Monaco, about what the Attorney General intended. I want to play the second of the two Hawley cuts, please. Cut number 20.
Let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children? Is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country. It's something we all should engage in.
And no, I don't think so, Ms. Monaco. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms, nor does it define harassment or intimidation. It talks about violence. I think we can agree that violence shouldn't be condoned or looked aside from in any way, swept under the rug at all. But harassment and intimidation, what did those terms mean in the context of a local school board meeting? I mean, this seems to be
right there. John Birch, they are void for vagueness if they were to appear in a statute regulating conduct at a school board member. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. When you don't define a term like harassment or intimidation, then what happens is government officials use it to prosecute whatever conduct that they want. And you've seen over and over across the country over the last year, as you're talking about the very issues that Senator Hawley was mentioning, whether it's, you know, masking or vaccine mandates, whether it's the pornographic materials that we're increasingly seeing in schools, or the critical race theory, that what school boards are doing is they are shutting down parents as speakers. And when those parents get upset and they raise their voices and they say, this isn't right, you know, you're supposed to be here to listen to us, because after all, the school board is working for us, the parents of the students, then the school board members run away. They shut down microphones. They shut down meetings. They meet in closed spaces, and they do anything they can to keep themselves from being exposed to public scrutiny of any kind.
Now, I want to encourage.
That's harassment. That's a problem.
I want to encourage parents who are upset with school boards never to go to a school board member's home, never to approach them outside of their car, always to appear at the podium, because the least common denominator rule will work here. If you find the craziest parent doing the craziest thing, they will be used to define all parents upset with CRT, masking, or any kind of curriculum change. And no matter what the craziest school board member is doing, that will not get reported. That's just the media weighing in. Let Alliance Defending Freedom represent you. Call them up and tell them when the school board is shutting down your speech. Call them up, because yesterday I told people about Lisa, the, I believe, third grader who wore a, obliged to wear a mask to school, wore a Jesus Loves Me mask and was told to take it off. ADF got involved there as well, John. How long did it take to get that school board to reverse that edict?
No, it took a couple months, but eventually they did come around after it was revealed, thanks to the mom's investigation, that they had completely made up this policy. They had told her that they had a policy of not allowing kids to wear masks that would cause, you know, dissension or rancor at school. And that wasn't even a policy that had existed. They made it up specifically for the purpose of preventing this child from wearing a Jesus Loves Me mask to school. But the school eventually did repent, and that little girl continues to wear her mask and has encouraged many of her friends to do the same. And that's what happens when you band together and you fight for freedom, is that you can win. The bullies are fierce and tough on the outside, but they'll often cave once they are confronted with pressure. And there are way more of us than there are of them when it comes to respecting human dignity and the free speech guarantee of the First Amendment, particularly when it comes to our kids.
Now, I believe that Terry McAuliffe, who represents school boards and school unions, will be beaten by Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. ADF can't take a position on a particular school race, but it was Terry McAuliffe who said, I believe that parents should have no role in what school districts decide. And Glenn Youngkin looked at him like he was out of his mind. However, there is an election everywhere this year, and sometimes school boards are insulated for 4 years from appearing again before the electorate. In that gap, ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, must appear and sue or represent. Then some of those cases, and on religious liberty grounds as well and on life grounds, have got to go up to the Supreme Court. How many cases at the new term of the Supreme Court, John Birch, is ADF involved in?
We're involved in several in different capacities, including the right for religious schools to not be discriminated against in public funding. With respect to Dobbs, the Mississippi case involving the 15 weeks law in prohibiting abortion after 15 weeks. There's another parental rights case. It's called Thompson. And so we're involved closely working with others on all of these. Since 2011, we have won 13 victories in the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of our clients. And since 1994, which was our founding, we've played a role in 64 victories in the United States Supreme Court. So we're always there. And we've got some interesting cases hopefully coming up on the docket soon, including Gordon College, which is a Christian college in Massachusetts. cases, which was told by the Supreme Court of Massachusetts that they don't have the ability to control their own faculty, the people who are instrumental to inculcating the faith among their own students.
I'm a huge supporter of Gordon College. It's a wonderful university, and I'm very glad that you are representing them. They have tried their best to accommodate the crazy left in Massachusetts, and it will not be accommodated. They really want Gordon to go away. So good luck with that. But to my audience, I say, please contribute to Alliance Defending Freedom. Yes, they sponsor the show, but I want you to do it for the same reason I support them. They win. Jonathan, you want to add anything to that? The banner is over at HughHewitt.com. They have to count to three, let it load at the very top, or they can call 866-359-9644. Anything you want to ask, add to the direct appeal to our audience to contribute?
Yeah. You know, obviously, in these troubling times when government officials more than ever before are forcing people to not be able to speak or to violate their religious liberty in the public square or allowing abortion on demand or getting in between the parent-child relationship, it's more important than ever that people have the ability to call someone to defend them. And we are literally getting thousands of calls across the country from people who have had their religious liberty and free speech and pro-life rights violated by the federal and state and local government officials. And we represent all of them pro bono, which means that they don't pay a dime for any of our legal services. We consider it our ministry to be able to keep the door open for the spread of the gospel. And it's our privilege to be able to to represent parents and students
and
others across the spectrum.
Thank you, John Birch from Alliance Defending Freedom. The banner's at HughHewitt.com. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. A week from today, I will be in Atlanta with my guest, Brian Westbury, at the Atlanta History Center, along with Herschel and Alfredo Ortiz of the Job Creator Network. If you want a ticket to this event, go over to am920theanswer.com, Atlanta, and come out and see us at the Atlanta History Center next Wednesday night. Not only will you get to meet Herschel and Alfredo, but Brian is going to do the full Brian, explaining where we are and where we're going, and you can move your money accordingly. The full Brian is the deck of slides that I always am mystified by. I learned so much. But I always only get a short bit to ask him. Brian, this morning, markets in England, Germany, and France are down by more than 2% in some places. What is happening on the world stage? I don't think it's the debt limit. I think it's inflation.
Yeah, I would agree, Hugh. There's actually two things. Remember, inflation, if we're going to talk, you know, like true inflation, is that money buys less. And so there's two ways that this happens. One, you create too much money, and that's actually what we've done. But the other thing you can do is cause your output to go down. And what we did with the COVID lockdowns, you know, I get it. People will tell me 700,000 people died in America. But the bottom line is when you can't lock down a capitalist system, close it like a light bulb, turn it off, and then turn it back on. And so there's two things going on right now. One, we have damaged our ability to produce. At the same time, we've printed way too much money. When you put those two things together, you get inflation. There's no doubt about it. Oil, over $75 a barrel. You know, everybody knows what you're paying for a gallon of gasoline. There's inflation in the system today. And the market will adjust because of that.
Yeah, the Brent crude this morning is at $82 a barrel. The regular crude is at $78, and natural gas is up to $6.38. People are going to be shivering in New England this winter, and those are production issues, but they're fueled by inflationary pressures. Everybody is paying more for everything.
Yeah, well, we've devalued the dollar. This is why, you know, I don't think Bitcoin will ever become our money, these cryptocurrencies. The government won't allow it. But at the same time, the people that are, like, pushing them to become our money, they understand this because you can only make 21 million Bitcoin. You can only mine 21 million Bitcoin. But the U.S. dollar, you can abuse it, or the British pound, or the euro. What these central banks are doing is printing as much as they can, and so the value is falling.
Brian, will you be explaining why gold?
Speaking of the energy market, we have green energy deals, so everything has to be solar, everything has to be wind. Well, if the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, then all of a sudden you have shortages there as well. So I think Europe is in for a long, dark, and cold winter.
So, Brian, will you be explaining next week why people turn to gold, why they turn to commodities, what they do with real estate when this sort of period? No one remembers the late 70s unless you're old enough to remember the late 70s. They don't know what to predict.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of my, I guess, reasons for living these days is to remind people of history, remind people of the economic facts of what inflation does, and then also remind people of how to invest and survive in a period of inflation.
You know, it's wholly unnecessary. This is what drives me crazy. What will happen is the Democrats will get blown out when inflation takes over by 2024. Then Republicans will come in, they'll appoint a Fed chairman, and they'll do tight money, and we'll have the recession that we had in 82, and Republicans will pay the price. And then we'll have mourning in America like we had in 84, and Republican will get reelected. But the trouble is that midterm, Brian, because someone gets blamed for the high interest rates, which are unnecessary if there would be discipline right now.
Yeah, well, you know, either you pay now or you pay later. And the crazy thing about politics is that doing the right thing, you know, like, you know, it's tough love, right? And people don't like tough love. And part of the problem with that is the parents or adults are the ones that have to, you know, provide the tough love. And if you're a kid and you don't understand the tough love, then you hate it.
And boy, Joe Biden is not the parent. Chuck Schumer is not the parent. Nancy Pelosi is not the parent. They're giving out candy and sugar canes. They're giving out ice cream and cookies. And it's a sugar high. And whatever you're feeling right now is a sugar high, and we're going to pay. Brian Westbury and I, Herschel Walker, Alfredo Ortiz at the Atlanta History Center a week from tonight. Go get your tickets at am920theanswer.com. Join me and Brian in Atlanta at the Atlanta History next Wednesday night. Join me with John Birch of Alliance Defending Freedom next on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, Inside the Beltway Live. Representative Ashley Hinson is a graduate of the University of Southern California, which used to play football. And now she represents Iowa's first congressional district, where the Iowa Hawkeyes are, in fact, ranked fifth in the country. So I hope you're rooting for Iowa and not the Trojans, Congresswoman.
Yeah, well, I seem to have brought the fight on magic back with me to Iowa this year. So, it's been a disappointing couple of years for us Trojans fans, but we're hoping for some new leadership, and we can move the team forward in the coming years. Rebuilding year this year, Hugh.
More like a couple of disappointing decades, Congresswoman, but I'll let that go. I love to tweak my USC fans. They've had a tough couple of decades in football. Someday they'll catch up to the Big Ten. But your Hawkeyes are, it's going to be the championship game between the Buckeyes and the Hawkeyes. So, Congresswoman, you have, as a freshman, ended up on the Powerful Appropriations Committee. That means, that's very unusual, right? You're the only freshman on, am I correct? Freshman Republican.
There are two of us, myself and Tony Gonzalez from Texas. So, yeah, it's a small but mighty representation from our freshman class this year, and it's really been an interesting way to cut my teeth as a freshman representative serving on appropriations and budget. So, obviously, with everything the Democrats have tried to do, those two committees have kind of been shining examples of how not to do business, I guess I would say, under Democrat leadership.
Well, my friend Ken Calvert, who has been there forever, and he's as old as I am, serves on appropriations, and I know the power that an appropriator wields. So on one hand, having another $5 trillion to spend must be enticing. On the other hand, it's a nightmare for Americans, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I don't know what universe they're living in that they think spending this money we don't have right now on priorities we don't need right now is a good idea. And when you talk about the chaos and dysfunction in Washington, D.C., it was really on full display last week. It's still on display right now. And you really have a problem, Hugh, when Democrats are arguing over whether we should spend $3 trillion or $5 trillion that we don't have. I mean, this is the complete out-of-touch approach to policymaking that these Democrats are taking right now, arguing over trillions like they're nickels and dimes. And so the way I see it, and I'm proud to serve alongside Mr. Calvert as well, my colleague from California, on that appropriations committee. But the Democrats need a dose of Iowa common sense, and they need to see how real families are operating on a budget and making tough decisions. And it's very clear to me that they have completely lost touch with that.
Let me read to you from Politico this morning. Bad news for Biden. Democrats who are hoping that the monthly $300 per child checks the federal government started sending out to families over the summer would be a winner in the midterms won't like the findings of our latest poll with Morning Consult. Fewer than half of the respondents, 47%, gave congressional Democrats credit for providing the extra cash, and even fewer, 38%, credited President Joe Biden. While half of the registered voters support the expanded payments versus 38% in opposition, only 35% of registered voters, that's not likely voters, that's registered, want to make them permanent. So in other words, they've lost their party, they've lost the progressives, they've lost the country on this, Congresswoman Hinson.
Absolutely. And I think Americans are on to the fact that our credit card is maxed out in this country. The bill is due. And Democrats keep asking for a blank check to spend taxpayer dollars on their out-of-touch priorities through 2022. And, you know, when you talk about the child care tax credit or the child tax credit specifically, I mean, my husband and I got those checks in the mail. And we were like, what is this? And I think we tried to explain it to people in the district about, you know, this is something you were going to get as a tax credit next year. And now they're trying to buy off voters with checks, right? And that's what it seems like. And I understand, you know, families needing help with extra expenses. And it has been a tough year. And I understand that as a working parent myself. But it's very clear that the American taxpayer is tired of being disrespected. And this the pie in the sky idea that the Democrats keep going for is clearly it's not working for President Biden. And they have the triple threat of government right now. The Democrats are in control of the White House, the Senate, and the House, and they clearly can't get their act together, and the American people are onto these schemes.
Now, Congresswoman Hinson, you've only been there less than a year, but I hope you figured out Republicans win by persuading people on policy. Democrats win by writing checks. They are not going to win next year. I think you're going to have Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Leader Steve Scalise. I don't think you're going to have Speaker Pelosi and Leader Hoyer anymore. Do your colleagues across the aisle recognize that? Is this a desperate, flailing effort to hold off what is inevitable because of disgust with the president and redistricting?
Well, I believe so. And, you know, what you're seeing on the floor is this frantic effort to try to save a failed agenda. But it's very clear that everything President Biden touches fails. And that's why in Iowa, for example, you're seeing his approval rating at 31%. I mean, that's just an abysmal number. And again, Iowans are very common sense people. They care about the kitchen table issues, and Americans care about those kitchen table issues. And so, you know, I think when you look at what our possibilities are in 2022, Americans are ready for real leadership in Congress. They've seen what happens under a Speaker Pelosi-led House. She needs to be less focused on backroom deals and more focused on respecting taxpayers. And really, it's insulting to our taxpayers that are footing the bill for everything we spend. You know, they love to talk about free, free, free. I was on an event with another colleague of mine across the aisle, and he was talking about free community college, free child care. And I piped in and I said, excuse me, sir, but I think we need to point out here that no matter who is paying for it, it's taxpayers who are paying for it. It's not free. So it's a complete philosophical difference in thinking, and that's what we've been seeing on full display. It's just been an absolute circus, and obviously I'm only 9 months in, but I'm hopeful that under Republican leadership we can turn things around.
Which subcommittees are you on, Congresswoman, of Appropriations?
Homeland Security and T-HUD. So as you can imagine, with Homeland Security, we've been paying very close attention to what's happening at the border. I was just with my colleague, John Katko, last night from New York, and he obviously is the ranking member on the Homeland Security Policy Committee. And we were talking a lot about, we are punting on what's happening at the border because this is what the Democrats want. They want an open border. So they are turning a blind eye to the situation at the border because that's the kind of chaos that they want in this country. They want open borders. They want to have a socialist society. And that direction for our country it couldn't be clearer what the Democrats are trying to do. Amnesty for illegal immigrants amid the worst border crisis in our history. The spending during the most inflation we've seen in decades. I mean, it's literally a cuckoo time in Washington, D.C., Hugh. And I think the best way we can turn that around is to fire Nancy Pelosi in 2022.
Now, Congresswoman, a lot of that ability to fire depends upon redistricting. I'm not sure if Iowa stayed the same, gained or lost a seat, but how is the redistricting process going, and how is Iowa 1, which you represent, being affected by that process?
Yeah. So actually, just yesterday, the first redistricting map came before our legislature. They voted it down. I haven't talked to my colleagues about it from my previous time in the legislature in Iowa, but our process is it's a nonpartisan agency that draws our maps in Iowa. They do a run of the congressional as well as the state legislative, Senate, and House maps, and then they present those to the legislature. They can vote them up or down. If they vote them down, they see another map in a few weeks. They can vote that up or down, and then if they get a third map, they can vote that up or they can amend that map. So not sure what they're going to do, but I'm interested in serving my district and not drawing it, and we'll see what they decide to do. But in the meantime, I was out doing a roundtable on Monday with Congressman Davis from Illinois. Rodney Davis was in my district. We're talking about voter integrity, and he's not traveling the country to try to make sure that, you know, our elections are safe and secure, and there's no federal takeover of elections, for example. So that's what I'm focused on. But I think with redistricting across the country, we want to make sure ultimately that that's a fair process. And I think we're seeing that play out in other states as well.
Now, Representative Hinson, there is also the issue of stepped up basis. And I explain this for my listeners very carefully because it's a mortal threat to family farms and homeowners who've seen their house appreciate as they paid it off over 30 years. And stepped up basis is the love child of Ron Wyden and Joe Biden. It did not fare well in the House bill. What does Iowa think about doing away with stepped up basis, which would oblige those heirs of a family farm, when it passed to them, to pay taxes on the stepped up value of that rather than on the day they sell, given the value
right
that it was when they inherited?
Right. Well, it's just, I think it's un-American. You know, we talk about taxation without representation. We talk about the fundamental values associated with that process. And I was really appalled to see USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack. He released an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago claiming that repealing the stepped-up basis wouldn't hurt our family farmers. And it was upsetting and, frankly, disrespectful to have that perspective, because it shows the administration is putting their foot on the gas with all of these policies, doubling down on their misguided proposals to, again, try to take more from our farmers who are putting their blood, sweat, and tears into building their businesses. And that's what they are. They're small businesses. And they want to use a tax hike to try to pay for, again, these pie-in-the-sky, reckless reconciliation packages. So I think that I've heard a lot of concerns from our family farmers about their ability to, number one, pay this tax because all of their cash is tied up in their land, right? So they're not cash rich. They have the value of the property and the business that they've built. But it's reckless and it's disrespectful to taxpayers. And I've heard a lot about that on the road in my district.
Congresswoman Ashley Hinson, please keep coming back no matter how bad the Trojans become and no matter when the Buckeyes beat the Hawkeyes. I do appreciate your joining me. You can follow her on Twitter at Rep. Ashley Hinson. And someday she's going to join me in raising money for the USC band to get them some trumpets. I know she will. Thank you, Congresswoman. We need trumpets for the USC band. They've never had trumpets since they melted them down during World War II. They've only gone with the French horns, and they've never sounded very good since then. And when you've got the best damn band in the land in Ohio State, it really shows a glaring error out there in the West Coast. Let's get some trumpets to USC.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.